From Silicon Valley to Wall Street, the promise and perils of artificial intelligence are playing out on the world stage. But what will the next phase of AI adoption look like? Which companies, from big tech to startups, will dominate? And where do the risks and unintended consequences lie? I'm Emily Chang. Join me at Bloomberg Tech in San Francisco, May 9th, to answer many of the industry's burning questions, alongside Snap's Evan Spiegel, Xbox President Sarah Bond, OpenAI's Brad Lightcap, top researcher Dr. Fei-Fei Li of Stanford, and many more. More details and just a few tickets left at Bloomberg.com/TechSF.
Bloomberg Audio Studios.
Podcasts, radio, news.
Good morning, I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow. Here are the stories we're following today.
Let's begin with Alphabet. Those shares are higher by more than 11%. Google's parent company reported first quarter revenue that exceeded analyst expectations thanks to gains in its cloud computing unit. Alphabet's chief financial officer, Ruth Porat, says AI services are increasingly fueling growth.
We are very pleased with our financial results for the first quarter, driven in particular by strength in search and cloud, as well as the ongoing efforts to durably re-engineer our cost base.
And Alphabet Chief Financial Officer Ruth Porat says the company will pay a dividend of 20 cents a share. It's its first ever, and will repurchase an additional $70 billion in stock.
Well, Nathan, shares of Microsoft are up more than 3.5%. Quarterly sales and profit climb more than projected, lifted by corporate demand for the software maker's cloud and artificial intelligence offerings. Bloomberg Intelligence senior tech analyst Anurag Rana says it was a good quarter for Azure, its cloud computing business.
The Azure growth of 31%, I mean, that's a big jump. The expectations were 28%. And frankly speaking, going into the quarter, we thought anything above 28 would be a welcome. I mean, this is a very big number, frankly, given the current macro conditions.
Aside from cloud computing, Bloomberg Intelligence's Anurag Rana says Microsoft's desktop software business benefited from stabilizing demand for personal computers.
Well, Karen, the biggest tech winner this morning may be Snap. Those shares are surging more than 23%. The social media company reported first quarter results that beat estimates and gave an outlook that's stronger than forecast.
Well, Nathan, one company that's not participating in this bounce back tech rally is Intel. Shares are down 7%. The biggest maker of personal computer processors gave a lackluster forecast for the current period. Analysts say that's an indication Intel is still struggling to return to the top tier of the chip industry.
Karen, I want to get you up to date now on that proposed takeover in the mining industry. Anglo American has rejected a $39 billion takeover proposal from BHP Group, saying it significantly undervalues the company. Bloomberg's Martin Ritchie says a rejection is not uncommon in deals of this nature.
This is not unusual in takeover deals. Many analysts, have said that they think the premium offered by BHP is probably not sufficient for a transaction of this complexity.
And Bloomberg's Martin Ritchie says BHP is now going to have to improve its offer if it wants to start talks.
Well, Nathan, we get another key reading on inflation today with the Fed's preferred inflation gauge, the PCE deflator. It comes a day after a report that showed U.S. economic growth slid to an almost two-year low while inflation jumped. And we get a preview with Bloomberg's Michael McKee.
Well, that was a surprise. PCE inflation on a quarterly basis came in a lot hotter than anticipated yesterday. Today's report on March inflation will answer the question posed. Was that because of January and February being revised higher, or is the March number going to be a lot stronger than forecast? If it were, that would really rock markets. Investors would see evidence inflation is not just sticky but actually rising again as reason for the Fed to give up any plans to cut interest rates this year. Eyes will also be on the report's consumer spending data. Slowing growth with rising inflation is the last thing Wall Street wants to see. Michael McKee, Bloomberg Radio.
All right, Mike, thanks. Now let's turn to politics and reports that former President Donald Trump's advisors are taking aim at the Fed. According to the Wall Street Journal, they have drawn up roughly 10 pages outlining a policy vision for the central bank. Trump's allies are arguing the president should be consulted on interest rate decisions and that the Treasury Department should be used more as a check on the Fed. Sources tell the Journal Trump should also have the authority to remove Jay Powell as chairman before his term ends in 2026.
Well, Nathan, speaking of Donald Trump, immunity for the former president and all future presidents is now before the Supreme Court, and Bloomberg's Ed Baxter has the details.
The justices expressed skepticism towards sweeping immunity, but did say there may be a place for some kind of protection. Justice Samuel Alito asked, without immunity, would presidents be able to act?
After leaving office, is not that the president is going to be able to go off into a peaceful retirement, but that the president may be criminally prosecuted.
But Justice Ketanji Brown Jackson said if there is no potential liability,
wouldn't there be a significant risk that future presidents would be emboldened to commit crimes with abandon while they're in office?
Justice Sonia Sotomayor brought it back more specifically to Trump.
This is what you're asking us to say. A president is entitled for total personal gain.
The justices seem to say this may not be done so that his D.C. trial could start before the election. Ed Baxter, Bloomberg Radio.
All right, Ed, thank you. And testimony resumes this morning in the Manhattan hush money trial of the former president. It's the defense's turn to question former National Enquirer publisher David Pecker. He was the prosecution's first witness and described helping to bury embarrassing stories that Trump feared would hurt his campaign.
Well, we turn to geopolitics now, Nathan, and Secretary of State Antony Blinken meeting with Chinese President Xi Jinping in Beijing. This follows about 5 hours of talks with China's foreign minister, Wang Yi, who says problems are mounting between the world's two biggest economies. Here he is speaking through an interpreter.
The Chinese relationship is beginning to stabilize. Across the areas, our two sides have increased dialogue, cooperation, and the positive side of the relationship. This is welcomed by our two peoples and the international community. But at the same time, the negative factors in the relationship is still increasing and building. And the relationship is facing all kinds of disruptions.
Well, following those comments from Foreign Minister Wang Yi, Chinese state media quoted President Xi as saying the U.S. and China need to resolve some remaining issues and that the two countries should be partners, not rivals. And it's time now for a look at some of the other stories making news in New York and around the world. For that, we're joined by Bloomberg's Michael Barr. Michael, good morning.
Good morning, Karen. Police crackdowns on college campuses nationwide have led to arrests and universities calling off commencement. Bloomberg's Amy Morris has the latest.
The University of Southern California canceled its main commencement ceremony, citing safety concerns. Other schools have rewritten their rules to ban encampments and moved final exams to new locations. This after hundreds of students on campuses across the country have been arrested as they take part in a nationwide movement from Columbia to Harvard, Berkeley, New York University, Yale, North Carolina, Illinois, Texas, George Washington University, and American University. The students are demanding schools cut financial ties to Israel and divest from companies enabling the conflict. They also want universities to drop charges against pro-Palestinian student organizers. In Washington, Amy Morris, Bloomberg Radio.
Harvey Weinstein's accusers and their advocates were shocked and angered by a New York appellate court's decision to overturn the ex-movie mogul's 2020 rape conviction. But Me Too advocates sought to send a clear message that the movement has not been derailed. The appeals court overturned the conviction, finding the trial judge unfairly allowed testimony based on allegations that were not part of the case. Weinstein's attorney, Arthur Idala.
What the Court of Appeals said, you can't throw out 100 years of legal precedent because someone is unpopular.
The decision does not mean Weinstein will go free. He must serve a 16-year sentence for rape in California. President Biden is in the New York City area for fundraisers. Yesterday, the president visited Syracuse. Biden announced a $6 billion investment in semiconductor manufacturer Micron that he says will create thousands of jobs in New York and Idaho.
Together with Schumer Leader and I, we took action to make sure these chips are made in America again, creating tens of thousands, and I mean tens of thousands of good-paying jobs, bringing prices down for everyone.
Last night, the president attended a fundraiser in Westchester County. Biden wraps up his New York visit today with more campaign stops. Global news 24 hours a day and whenever you want it with Bloomberg News Now. I'm Michael Barr, and this is Bloomberg, Karen.
All right, Michael, thank you.
The countdown has begun. This May, 1,000 global leaders will gather in Doha for the Qatar Economic Forum powered by Bloomberg, held in conjunction with our official partners, the Qatar Ministry of Commerce and Industry and Media City Qatar, and premier sponsor QNB. Join heads of state, influential ministers, and leading CEOs to make new connections and gain unique insights. Learn more at QatarEconomicForum.com.
Time now for the Bloomberg Sports Update with John Stashower. John, good morning.
Good morning, Karen. It's become an annual part of the NFL draft. Teams desperate to try and find the next Patrick Mahomes or Lamar Jackson. That's why the top three picks last night in Detroit and six of the top 12, all quarterbacks. Caleb Williams to Chicago, Jaden Daniels to Washington, Drake May to New England. Then in a stunning move, Atlanta took Michael Penix Jr. He was not expected to go that high, and the Falcons just signed free agent QB Kirk Cousins. Minnesota took J.J. McCarthy. Denver drafted Bo Nix. There was a belief the Giants would take a quarterback, but instead of taking someone to replace Daniel Jones, they took a player who should help Jones, LSU's speedy wideout Malik Nabers.
One of those teams that I know I can contribute with my, you know, ability to do great things with the football. So, you know, I'm glad they picked me. You know, I know they're going to do tremendous things when I get there. It's a great fit. I'm showing, you know, Daboll has turned a lot of great receivers into, you know, a lot of great things. So I'm trying to be just one of those guys.
The Jets, few picks later, went with Penn State tackle Olu Fashanu. Rounds 2 and 3 take place tonight, rounds 4 through 7 tomorrow. Knicks and Sixers, game 3 in Philadelphia, tight first half, and then Joel Embiid went off in the third quarter, scored 18 points, took 4 three-pointers, made them all. Sixers won 125-114, cutting the Knicks series lead to 2-1. Embiid finished with 50. He's the first in playoff history to score 50 on fewer than 20 shots. Jalen Brunson, who didn't play well in the two Knick wins, did play well in the game 3 loss, scored 39. Game 4, Sunday afternoon. After two losses in Cleveland, Orlando came home, won by 38. In L.A., Denver again beat the Lakers and are up 3-0. So are the Carolina Hurricanes. They beat the Islanders 3-2. Florida won 5-3 at Tampa Bay. Also a 3-0 lead. The Rangers look to go up 3-0 tonight in Washington. Yankees left 11 on base, lost to Oakland 3-1. John Stashower, Bloomberg Sports, Karen and Nathan.
Coast to coast on Bloomberg Radio, nationwide on Sirius XM, and around the world on Bloomberg.com and the Bloomberg Business app. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
Good morning. I'm Nathan Hager. Well, the Bulls are back in the driver's seat this morning after blowout earnings from Microsoft and Google parent Alphabet, and a signal from both these tech giants that massive bets on artificial intelligence and cloud computing are paying off. And for more, we're joined by Bloomberg's Kriti Gupta. Kriti, good morning. Well, we know the bar was really high for both these companies, and you look at the price action this morning, it looks like investors think they cleared it and then some.
Good morning, Nathan. Yeah, the bar high for sure, and them delivering with flying colors. But there is a little bit of a different story, some nuances between the two companies. And I want to start with Alphabet here, because that's the big one that a lot of people are watching in terms of the catch-up trade when it comes to AI and cloud as well. Because we know for the cloud business, Microsoft and Amazon Web Services have really been the outperformers and therefore the dominant players in terms of market share, whereas Alphabet and Oracle have been trying to make up some of the gap. This marks a little bit of a turning point for that dynamic, simply because Alphabet came out and basically said that not only do they have a good sales quarter, a good profit in terms of their numbers, but they also have their second quarter of profit specifically for their AI unit. I mean, the Wall Street estimates there were about $621 million. They came out with $900 million. The reason this matters, Nathan, is because when you have that profitability, you can scale up more quickly and actually have more incentive to do that. And that's really puts them on track to compete with the likes of Microsoft and AWS. On top of that, as if that wasn't enough to really power the shares, they added a little bit of a sweetener, a 20-cent per share dividend, their first ever in history, plus a $70 billion share buyback. Not too shabby for Alphabet.
Yeah, certainly not. So is this becoming more of a horse race then in the cloud? I mean, there's been so much attention on Azure, the Microsoft partnership with OpenAI, and at the same time, Azure's shown that, you know, they've got more room to run as well.
They do. And I think the context here is really important for Microsoft's business there, because their cloud business is the real moneymaker for their entire kind of company. And I think this quarter they had about a 30% growth rate. But they've been hovering around that 30% level for a couple of quarters now. And I want to say maybe two or three quarters ago, there was a big concern that they would start dipping. Essentially, this idea here simply being that that growth rate makes a lot of sense when you're scaling up. You have this exponential rate of return and rise, but at some point it kind of plateaus. And every quarter, investors kind of go in and say, is this the moment that that Azure business is going to be less of or at least decelerate in terms of their growth? I mean, Microsoft has come out and said, look, that's not what's happening here when it comes to their cloud business. A lot of that is because they're now using AI as a tailwind for cloud. And I think Mandeep Singh over at Bloomberg Intelligence often makes a great point that a lot of kind of corporate America, international corporates even haven't fully invested in cloud. So there's a lot of run room to begin with on the cloud business, even though it's been around for a decade or so. Add on the AI story, and there's still a lot of growth ahead. And that's the message coming out of both Microsoft and Alphabet.
So, Kriti, how does this set us up for what we could get from Amazon next week? Of course, they're a big cloud player with Amazon Web Services, but is the pressure on even more now for them to deliver?
It absolutely is, especially because a lot of folks have looked at Amazon Web Services. Amazon is a company, of course, but specifically Amazon Web Services and their tech kind of division as being late to the AI trade. They do have an AI investment in Anthropic, but it's not the same level of investment that, for example, Microsoft has put towards OpenAI. So a big question here is, as AI becomes a tailwind for Alphabet and Microsoft's cloud services, does it then become kind of the Achilles heel for the AWS cloud offering? And that's really where that's an incredibly kind of important tone change and tone set, I would argue, that Amazon has to prove, given that the new CEO, Andy Jassy, used to be the head of AWS before he took on the reins over at the company.
Just 30 seconds left here, Kriti, but does the market narrative change when we get March PCE later on this morning?
It could change. Look, there was a lot of what some are calling this morning, at least in the European trade, an overreaction in the bond market and the stock market. Numbers are still looking good, but again, it's that PCE deflator that could really change the dial and give a little bit more clarity on what we saw in the GDP numbers yesterday.
This is Bloomberg Daybreak Today, your morning brief on the stories making news from Wall Street to Washington and beyond.
Look for us on your podcast feed at 6 a.m. Eastern each morning on Apple, Spotify, and anywhere else you get your podcasts.
You can also listen live each morning starting at 5 a.m. Wall Street time on Bloomberg 1130 in New York, Bloomberg 99.1 in Washington, Bloomberg 1061 in Boston, and Bloomberg 960 in San Francisco.
Our flagship New York station is also available on your Amazon Alexa devices. Just say, Alexa, play Bloomberg 1130.
Plus, listen coast to coast on the Bloomberg Business app, SiriusXM, the iHeartRadio app, and on Bloomberg.com. I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow. Join us again tomorrow morning for all the news you need to start your day right here on Bloomberg Daybreak.
The countdown has begun. This May, 1,000 global leaders will gather in Doha for the Qatar Economic Forum, powered by Bloomberg, held in conjunction with our official partners, the Qatar Ministry of Commerce and Industry and Media City Qatar, and premier sponsor QNB. Join heads of state, influential ministers, and leading CEOs to make new connections and gain unique insights. Learn more at QatarEconomicForum.com.